content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today, we begin with stock indices eke out more record highs. Stocks closed with modest gains on Wall Street on Monday, extending the major indices' recent record-setting run. The S&P 500 rose 0.2% after spending much of the day wavering between small gains and losses. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.3%, and the NASDAQ rose 0.6%. The gains pushed the three indices above the all-time highs they set on Friday. More than 65% of stocks in the S&P 500 rose, led by energy companies as the price of U.S. crude oil rose 0.6%, adding to a more than 75% gain so far this year. ExxonMobil rose 1.8%, a mix of companies that rely on direct consumer spending for goods and services accounted for a big slice of the index's gain. Tesla jumped 8.5%, and Starbucks gained 3.5%. Losses by technology, communication, and healthcare companies kept the S&P 500's gains in check. Microsoft fell 0.7%, Google parent Alphabet slid 3.1%, and United Health Group dropped 1.4%. Smaller company stocks far outpaced the broader market, in a sign that investors were confident about economic growth. The Russell 2000 rose 2.7%, closing within 0.1%, its all-time high set March 15th. The latest gains came as investors reviewed another batch of corporate quarterly report cards in what has so far been a better-than-expected earnings season, despite Wall Street's concerns over the impact of supply chain disruptions and higher inflation that they're having on companies. We're starting to see corporate earnings come in, and the fear was that you'd not have pricing power and you would see that impact in margins, said Tom Hanlon, national investment strategist at U.S. Bank Wealth Management. But so far, we're seeing companies either do one or both of two things: be able to raise prices and have consumers pay those prices, or to use technology to improve efficiency to offset some of those input prices. The S&P 500 index rose 8.29 points to 4,613.67. The Dow gained 94.28 points to 35,913.64. The NASDAQ added 97.53 points to 15,595.92. The Russell 2000 picked up 60.93 points to 2,358.12. Bond yields rose and helped banks make gains as they rely on higher yields to charge more lucrative interest rates on loans. The yield on the 10-year Treasury rose to 1.56% from 1.55% late Friday. The broader market is coming off its best month in nearly a year, with the S&P 500 gaining 6.9% in October. The index, which stumbled in September with a 4.8% loss, is now up 22.8% for the year. Stocks have been gaining ground for weeks as investors monitored a steady flow of mostly encouraging corporate earnings. More than half of the companies in the benchmark S&P 500 index have already reported results. Analysts expect overall profit growth of 36% by the time reporting is finished. Another 167 companies within the index will report their results this week. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer will report its result on Tuesday, and CVS Health will report results on Wednesday. Investors will also be watching another policy meeting by the Federal Reserve, which is in the process of considering how to wind down its extraordinary support measures for the economy. The central bank will release its latest statement on Wednesday. Rising inflation remains a concern and will likely be persistent, but will probably moderate through the end of the year, said Rod von Lipsey, managing director at UBS Private Wealth Management. Meanwhile, investors have been shifting their focus to earnings and other fundamental measures as they move past the uncertainty of COVID-19. Obviously, we're waiting to see what the Fed has to say, but there's still plenty of room and capacity for the markets to continue this recovery, he said. Wall Street will get several more economic updates this week. The Institute for Supply Management will release its service sector index for October on Wednesday, and that will give investors a glimpse into how the sector, which accounts for the bulk of economic activity, is recovering after the surge of COVID-19 cases over the summer. Investors will also get another update on the employment market when the Labor Department releases its jobs report for October on Friday. Next, turbulence ahead. Airlines canceled flights portend messy holiday travel. The razor-thin staffing that contributed to thousands of canceled U.S. passenger flights in October doesn't bode well for smooth holiday travel. American Airlines scrapped about 1,500 flights on Saturday and Sunday, plus 250 on Monday, according to tracker FlightAware.com. After operations at its main hub in Dallas were curtailed because of wind gust. Just 3 weeks ago, Southwest Airlines sparked customer ire when it canceled 3,100 flights over 4 days because of storms and interrupted air traffic control. Southwest said it needed to hire more workers to ward off more disruptions. Airlines have been caught off guard by the rebound of passengers and the need to staff up enough to serve them. It's likely to happen to American Airlines again as traffic picks up for the holidays, said Dennis Tajir, an American captain and spokesman for the Allied Pilots Association Union. We are very concerned about the upcoming holiday travel season, Tajir said in a telephone interview. They are setting up all the dominoes. All it's going to take is the fingertip of Mother Nature to send those tumbling. For American, those dominoes were toppled earlier this week when 3 out of the 5 runways at the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, its home base, were closed because of high wind. The airline canceled 1,023 flights on Sunday, some 36% of its schedule, according to FlightAware. Southwest, also based in Texas, canceled only about 5% of its Sunday schedule. The disruption at American continued into Monday as the carrier worked to get its schedule back in order. Last week saw the highest average daily number of passengers outside of brief holiday weekend peaks since the start of the pandemic in March 2020, according to Transportation Secretary Administration data. The average was about 1.8 million daily for the 7 days through Saturday, or about 84% of the equivalent week in 2019. The airline networks are more brittle because of staff cuts after the pandemic and lockdowns reduced passenger counts, said Samuel Engel, senior vice president of the aviation group at consultant ICF. He also cited a different mix of traveler, more tourist and fewer business travelers that may not match up with staffing at airports. Miami is getting more flights now than Cleveland, for example, he said. Plus, he said, the weather is also getting more extreme, which increases cancellations. The underlying forces are going to be with us for a while, Engel said. The airline management will get more and more adept at mitigating the impacts. American is hiring pilots, flight attendants, and support staff to prepare for more passengers. Chief Operating Officer David Seymour wrote in an October letter to its employees. The airline will have almost 1,800 flight attendants returning from leave beginning Monday and will hire 600 more by the end of December. The company is also bringing on 4,000 support workers during the final 3 months of the year, he wrote. We continue to staff up across our entire operation, and we will see more of our team returning in the coming months, Seymour said in the letter. The plan to hire workers is easier said than done, union official Tajir said. American wants to add more than 2,500 pilots, but there's a lack of instructors and flight simulators to do that quickly. Support staff is difficult to find because of a general labor shortage and rising wages for competing jobs, he said. We don't know how in the world they make 2 plus 2 equal 10, Tajir said. Airline schedules are complex and interdependent, which means delays can ripple through the system and grow in magnitude as they do. Because federal law restricts how many hours a pilot may work, it means that substitute flight crews will be needed if flights run too late. If backup crews are in short supply, particularly at the end of the month, airlines will have no choice but to cancel flights. Next, poll shows Americans sour on economy amid inflation woes. Americans' opinions on the U.S. economy have soured noticeably in the past month, a new poll finds, with nearly half expecting economic conditions to worsen in the next year. Just 35% of Americans now call the national economy good, while 65% call it poor, according to a poll by the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. That's a dip since September, when 45% of Americans call the economy good, and a return to about where views of the nation's economy stood in January and February, when the pandemic was raging across the nation. The deterioration in Americans' economic sentiments comes as the cost of goods is rising nationwide, particularly gas prices, and bottlenecks in the global supply chain have made purchasing everything, from furniture to automobiles, more difficult. The Labor Department reported earlier this month that consumer prices in September rose 5.4% from a year earlier, the largest one-year increase since 2008. Nadine Christian, 56, said she's been concerned about the rising cost of living the past year. I grew up in the 1970s, and I remember it was hard for my parents to make ends meet, Christian said, referring to the last time the U.S. economy was severely impacted by high inflation. It's not quite as bad as it was back then, but I feel like any day we could go off the rails. Roughly half of Americans, 47%, now say they expect the economy to get worse in the next year, compared with just 30% who think it will get better. In an AP-NORC poll conducted in February and March, the situation was reversed. 44 percent expected the economy to get better in the year ahead, and just 32% said it could get worse. Earlier this year, 70% of Democrats said they expected the economy to get better. Now, just 51% do. And the share of Republicans who think the economy will get even worse has grown to 74% from 59% earlier in the year. Joseph Binkley, 34, from Indiana, said he's worried about inflation but thinks the problems in the economy are temporary. I think it's mostly a supply-demand issue as the economy is improving, he said. Binkley said he supports President Biden's economic policies. A lot of the first years of a presidency is dealing with the predecessor's policies. I think Biden is having to work through the problems of the previous administration. The AP NORC poll shows a majority of Americans are critical of Biden's handling of the economy, with 58% saying they disapprove and 41% saying they approve. Despite the deterioration in Americans' economic outlooks, the poll found they remain relatively optimistic about their own financial situations. The poll found that 65% of Americans say their personal financial situation is good, a number that has remained about constant since before the pandemic began. Still, 24% say they think their personal finances will get worse in the next year, up from 13% earlier this year. The poll also shows signs that the pandemic has helped improve workers' bargaining power. 36% of Americans are very or extremely confident that they could find a good job if they wanted to. In March of 2020, 25% said that, and June of 2019, 30% said so. Another 35% said they're at least somewhat confident. About half of Americans, 49%, now say they're highly confident they could pay an unexpected bill of $1,000, up from 36% in March of 2020 and 40% in June of 2019. Economic inequalities between Black and Hispanic Americans compared to their white counterparts remain, however. White Americans are much more likely than Black or Hispanic Americans to be highly confident in their ability to pay an unexpected bill or medical expense. For businesses, the supply chain issues have dampened economic forecast. Dozens of large companies have said it's been hard to find basic goods for manufacturing, like raw materials and semiconductors. Companies keep telling me if I could just get the materials, my business would grow significantly, said Steve Steinor, CEO of Huntington Bank Shares, a large regional bank chain found primarily in the Midwest. Methodology, the APNORC poll of 1,083 adults was conducted October 21st through 25th using a sample drawn from NORC's probability-based AmeriSpeak panel, which is designed to be representative of the U.S. population. The margin of sampling error for all respondents is plus or minus 4 percentage points. Next, labor market shows signs of hiring uptick as virus surge fades. Jerry Akers, the owner of 36 hair salons in Iowa and Nebraska, had 70 open positions for more than 6 months. The company shrank during the pandemic, but as he tried to staff back up amid the reopening in the spring and summer, Akers had trouble finding enough people to work as the Delta variant spiked. But something changed over the last month. The number of applicants online picked up, and suddenly Great Clips was able to hire 10 people after months of struggling to find workers, bringing the number of its openings down significantly for the first time all year. You almost give up hope when it takes several months to do what you need to do, Akers said. But we are seeing some forward momentum. There seems to be a little more interest for people to start getting back to normal. The labor market has endured a couple of disappointing months, denting the country's confidence after vaccine skepticism and the Delta variant surge conspired to obliterate the optimistic projections for the late summer and fall. But with caseloads falling and the country's vaccination rate rising slowly but steadily, the labor market is now seeing some signs of a hiring boost as the country continues to climb out of the gigantic employment hole left by the pandemic. New unemployment claims have fallen every week for a month straight, down to a pandemic low of 281,000, after elevated figures through much of the pandemic. Business surveys like IHS Markit's Purchasing Managers Index show that service sector employers, the largest portion of the economy by far, are increasing workforce members at the quickest rate since June, when the country added nearly 1 million workers to the payrolls. And consumer confidence, the engine of the U.S. economy, reversed a months-long slide in October to mark high numbers, according to the Conference Board's monthly survey. Consumers were also the most optimistic about their own prospects to find jobs since 2000, the survey found. Customer desire to travel was the highest since before the pandemic. Restaurant reservations have recovered in October from a dip in September, as measured by data from OpenTable, to nearly return to pre-pandemic levels. Overall, coronavirus cases have gone down by more than 50% since the peak mid-September. Job growth picked up in the month of October with a lot of the temporary headwinds that held it back in the last few months less of an issue, said Bill Adams, senior economist for the PNC Financial Services Group. I think one of the reasons job growth was faster in October is people felt like they were less likely to be pulled out of the workforce. Akers said that has definitely been the case with his workforce. The company's employees are overwhelmingly women, most of them mothers, and many of them single mothers, he said. Problems with finding adequate child care, difficulty finding daycare facilities that are still open or have enough staff, has held back his staff throughout the pandemic, he said. So many of our employees or potential employees just had a terrible time finding daycare, he said. Now there are more opportunities for our staff to find somebody to watch their children. So if I had to pick one thing that's driving the higher interest right now, it's the fact that there is a slight change in the daycare situation. Gail Meyer is the chief operating officer of Meyer Hospitality, a group of six hotels in Missouri. The company has had a hard time hiring as well and are currently about 6% below full staff with 8 open positions. But the last few weeks have brought an increase of applications the hotel company's way, he said. Overall, they have been able to move quicker on hiring since about mid-September, he said. I wish I knew the answer, but really I don't know, and it's just a pleasant surprise, he said. What the pandemic did is it changed many people's lives in different ways. My sense is that there is a return to closer normalcy, but it's not floodgates opening, it's a journey. Each person is having to work out their specific situation. The country has worked its way out of the deep crater in the labor market. 22 million jobs lost in the earliest days of the pandemic, in fits and starts, gaining the first half of those jobs back by August 2020, before the recovery sputtered out amid the winter surge last year. It has added just over half of the remaining 11 million jobs so far this year, and it still needs to gain back at least 5 million jobs to match the number of jobs it had before the pandemic, or even more to account for what would have been typical growth over a non-crisis period. But the country added just 560,000 jobs in total during August and September, well below the more than 2 million it added in June and July. The September share of the haul, 194,000 jobs, was particularly disappointing. Economists are more circumspect with their predictions now, saying that the recovery from the unprecedented public health and economic crisis has proved to be more unpredictable than expected. Months where 1 million jobs are added may be a thing of the past, as supply chain issues, labor shortage woes, inflation, and other wrinkles continue to complicate the recovery. The jobless claims data implies that people are streaming back into the workforce. The real question is, will it be the competition that we're looking for, said Joseph Brasulias, chief economist at the firm RSM, saying that the country is still waiting for an uptick in employment among demographic groups like Black and Latino women. It's not going to be all in 1 month. It's going to be spread out over 2 to 6 months. And that's not going to be palatable to anybody in the policy sector or anybody who is a voter, right? But we're starting to see that. Nick Bunker, an economist at the online job site Indeed, said that the number of job postings continued to grow on the site, but the company has not seen an increase in job search activity. The number of searches by people 18 to 64 actually ticked down in October ever so slightly, but it was not statistically significant, he said. In other words, another month of data and there's no sign of a quick or sudden return of job seekers this month, he said. Labor supply is still likely to return as pandemic-era factors fade, but it's clear now that the return will be more gradual than many of us thought earlier this year. Akers was careful not to be overly optimistic about the march back to full employment at his company. It's going to be a long haul, he said. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.